Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Tes. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas David Goldmark, Avram David Meir Ben Eliyahu Cohen. All the shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We pick up the Gemara today at Nun Tes Amud Aleph, about 5 or 6 lines from the top, with the words V'Omar Rabba Berei Derava V'Tema Rav Hillel Berei Deravelis. We had a statement yesterday at the end of this year in the name of one of these two Amorayim, and we had the same statement today in the name of one of these two Amorayim, either Rabba Berei Derava or Rav Hillel Berei Deravelis, and that's why this was put here. Again, we mentioned many times that the Gemara was done all by heart, so they would often lump together the opinions or statements of various Amorayim and Tanayim. If there are only a few statements that we have recorded in their name, this way it would be easier to remember them if they were all listed together. So in any event, they made the statement as follows: Mimos Moshe v'ad Rabbi, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, lo matzinu Torah u'gidula b'makom echad. We didn't find the same person having both Torah and Gidula in the same person. As Rashi says in Dibur HaMascho, that the leadership, both in Torah and in other areas, should be in the same person. There was nobody as great in Torah and in wealth as the people that we're mentioning now. So from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, there was nobody that had that status of being in both worlds, in the Torah world, as well as in the wealth, materialistic, and political world, so like Rebbe. So lo matzino Torah gedula b'makom echad. More questions, says, really? V'lo? Since Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, nobody was like that? V'ha hava Yoshua. What about Yoshua, right after Moshe Rabbeinu? Wasn't he the preeminent Torah scholar and also the leader of Klal Yisrael? So why don't we list Yoshua? Because the Gemara says, Havi Elazar, because it was Elazar HaKohen, Aaron's son. Now, when we're saying over here that there was not one person who had Torah and Gdula b'makom echad, so it means that there was nobody else in the generation that was anywhere near their equal. And with Yeshua, as great as Yeshua was in Torah learning, there was Elazar HaKohen, who was equally great in Torah learning. The Gemara says, okay, so after Yeshua passed away, Havi Elazar. So then, why don't we list Elazar? He was a person who was a leader of Klal Yisrael and the leader in both Torah and in politics and in material things. So the Gemara says, no, because Havi Pinchas. He goes, there was some Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So therefore, there was Pinchas. No, so after Elazar died, Havi Pinchas, so Pinchas alone then, so he would then be the person who was Torah, Ugdula ben Malkum Echad. Why don't we say that? So the Gemara says, no, Havi Zekanim. Those the Canaan. And Sasha tells us this is the Canaan that we have in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Kiblum Yoshua. They live much longer than Yoshua. They live much longer than Pinchas. Even though Pinchas lived for a very long time, especially according to the opinion that says Pinchas is Eliyahu, but nevertheless there were these Zakenim, so therefore we can't list Pinchas. Moshe says, okay, so then let's keep on going. I have a Shaul, Shaul HaMelech. Shaul, it says, was great. He was head and shoulders above everybody else, plus he was the Melech. So he was great in Torah, and he was great in Malchus. He was great in material things. So Moshe says, no, have a Shmuel. There was Shmuel HaNavi. Certainly Shmuel HaNavi was greater than Shaul in Torah. So Moshe says, okay, so Vahad Nachmav. So after Shmuel HaNavi died, so Shaul still was alive for several months afterwards. So why don't we list Shaul? So what it says, because Kulu Shnei Kamino, when we say that there was nobody that had Torah, Gdula, B'makom Echad, and then for their entire lives, so to say, as soon as they became the Gadol HaDar, so there was nobody else. So here, while Shaul may have had that status for that period of time after Shmuel died, but since Shmuel was around beforehand, so therefore he can't be called Kola, Kulu Shnei Kamino, not for all the years of his life. Okay, Gemara says, so what about David? Ha havi David. Gemara says, no, because David also had a Rebbe. Hava ira hayoiri, who was David's Rebbe, who was even greater than David in Torah learning. So Gemara says, okay, called Nachshe. So after ira hayoiri died, so then David was alone. He would be Torah ugdula b'makom echad. So Gemara says, the answer that we had before by Shaul, kulu shnei b'ino. We need him to be for the entire period of time, not that there was anybody as equal during some of that period of time. Okay, Gemara says, what about Shlomo HaMelech? Havi Shlomo. Shlomo was only 12 years old when David died, so therefore Shlomo HaMelech would have reigned as Torah Gdula B'makom Echad. So why don't we list Shlomo HaMelech? Shmuel says, no, there was the head of the Sanhedrin, Hava Shimma ben Gera. Now, Shimma ben Gera was a terrible person. However, originally he was great in Torah learning, just like Shlomo HaMelech. He was the head of the Sanhedrin, albeit Nebuch, when David was running away from Avshalom. So Shimma ben Gera cursed him and said all sorts of terrible things. And ultimately, Shlomo HaMelech took care of Shimma ben Gera. But at least for some period of time, Shimma ben Gera was around when Shlomo HaMelech was around, and he was his equal in Torah learning. Shlomo killed Shimi ben Gera with the instructions of David to go take care of Shimi ben Gera when Shimi ben Gera did something wrong. So Shlomo Melech was able to go and have him executed. So where it says, again, Kulu Shnei Kamrina, we're talking about for their entire lifetime. So for some of his lifetime, Shlomo did coexist with Shimi ben Gera, so therefore it can't be considered Torah Gedulah Malkum Echad. Okay, let's go a little bit further in Jewish history. The Melech Chizkiyahu. Ha'avi Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was the Melech, and he was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. It says that even the 5 and 6 year olds in his day knew all of Taharos, they knew all of the difficult Gemaras. They were all Talmidei Chacham. He was a tremendous Melamed, as well as being the Melech. So he was a great Talmud Chacham. So what about Chizkiyahu? Someone says, no, there was Shevna. Ha'avi Shevna, who was equal to Chizkiyahu in his Torah learning. In fact, Rashi says that Shevna was Godel b'Torah. He was even greater than him. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Shevna havidorish b'tleisa rivosa v'chiyosko chizkiyo b'chatsa rivosa. So Shevna had a bigger yeshiva. He had 13 10,000s. And Chizkiyo only had 11 10,000. So therefore, the Torah learning of Shevna was considered greater. Ultimately, Chizkiyo killed Shevna because Shevna was turned bad. Ha Iktil. So Gemara says the same answer we gave before. Kulu Shnei Kamrin. And we're talking here that their entire lifetime they had to be Torah Gedulah B'Malkum Echad, not with anybody else. Gemara says, okay, let's go a little bit further in Jewish history. Havi Ezra Sofer. So he was certainly the leader of the Jewish people as well as the leading authority in Torah. So Gemara says no, because it was Nehemiah. Have a Nehemiah ben Chachlaya that was with him, and he was also a great in Torah learning. So Gemara says no. So we have nobody from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi. So Amar Rabbi Ach Amar Rav Acha Brei De Rava Afani Omer Imos Rabbi Bad Rav Ashi Lo Matzina Torah Gula Mok Bechad. So now to continue along in this vein. So from the days of Yehuda Nasi until the days of Rav Ashi, which was Ravina Nasi was the redactor of the Mishnayis, and Ravina Ravashi, this is Ravashi, he was the redactor of the Gemara. So from the days of Rebbe, if you read the Nasi into Ravashi, there was nobody that had Torah Gedulah B'Malkum Echad. More questions, this is Vlo, Vohava Huna Bar Nasan. Huna Bar Nasan, he lived at the same time as Ravashi. So therefore, how can you say that Ravashi was the sole person with Torah Gedulah? Shmuel says, no. Shaina Huna Bar Nasan, the makeup of Havichayev, Leila Ravashi, as great as Huna Bar Nasan was, he was subordinate to Ravashi. He recognized himself that Ravashi was greater than him. So therefore, we do actually have Ravashi being the sole person that was great in Torah and Gedulah at that time in one person. Nobody else was like him. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Mishnah now tells us, Cheresh, a person who has inability to talk as well as to hear, so he's a Cheresh. He doesn't have Das according to Daraisa. And therefore, while he can't get married on the Daraisa level, so he can get married on a Darabana level. So Cheresh Romes, he can make Remizos, as Rashi tells us over here. Mashu Romes Kayim, whatever he can signal with his hands. Umashu Romes Imlo, or people signal to him. Vum Misratze, and he clearly shows that he accepts it and wants it. So Kayim. So Midirabanan, a Cheresh can go and have transactions, including to get married. So Cheresh Romes Binirmas. So he can make Ramazim, and he can have Ramazim done to him, and he shows that he accepts them. So these are midirabbanan, valid transactions, or even marriage. So that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Well, Ben Bisera Omer, Ben Bisera says no. Kofetz, he can even not only do remiza, he can do kfitza. Rashi says kofetz v'nikbatz. So Rashi tells us that this is akimas swasayim. This is just moving of the lips, and he brings a pasuk from Iyov to support this. And he says ve'eno simen nikar k'remiza. This isn't as good a clear indication of what he wants like remiza. With remiza, you're making such signals with the hands and with the body that it's clear what you want. This is just moving the lips, so he's like making the words with his mouth, and you have to go read him. Read what he's saying, and this, according to Ben Masera, is good. But he then adds b'metaltalin, that this, now we'll have a discussion tomorrow, does he mean even by metaltalin or only by metaltalin? So we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, but for now we'll say that Ben Masera holds that the Cheresh can be making the mouthing his words, or have others mouth the words to him, so it doesn't have to actually be Remiza, which is a higher level of indication, but this will work by metaltalin kafitza, according to Ben Maseret. Tanakam would disagree and says, no, kafitza never works. Now, the Mishnah continues and tells us, hapu'utos, if you have young children, so they're under the age of bar and bas mitzvah, nevertheless, mikron mekach, umemkron mimkar, bimetaltalin. The rabbis instituted that their sales, either selling something or buying something, is a valid sale, but only in regards to metaltalin. And the reason for this is because of the need, they'll have to go, as Gemara will tell us, mishum kidei chayav, because if we don't allow their sales to be sales or their purchases to be purchases, so then nobody's going to want to do business with them, and they're not going to be able to sustain themselves. So therefore, midirabanan, we say that their sales are sales and their purchases are valid purchases. Okay, let's start the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Machlokas bin Metaltalin. Machlokas bin Tanakam and Ben Mesera is only in regards to Metaltalin. Whereas the Tanakam says that the Akima Suasayim is not good, the Kvitza is not good, whereas Ben Mesera said the Kvitza is good. But it's only in regards to Metaltalin. Avo Begitin, in regards to marriage or divorce, so Divri Yaakov Berimiza, then even Ben Mesera would admit that Kvitza, the Akima Suasayim, is not good enough, nowding it is not good enough, but you have to make a stronger simon, which is indicating by hand motions or remiza of various sorts. So it says, Pshita, that's what it said, Metaltalin time. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. What is Rav Nachman coming to add by saying, yeah, the Machlokes is only in Metaltalin? So it says, no, because we might have thought, Ma'o Ditema, after Metaltalin, that Ben Meser is saying that certainly by Gittin it would be good. And even by Metaltalin, Kamashulan, no, that Ben Meser says it's only by Metaltalin, but he would agree that in regards to Kiddushin and Gittin, that you need to have more than just Akima Sosayim, just mouthing it, but you'd actually have to go and have actual remiza, a real good simon, that's what the indication was. That's the first way to understand this. Ika the Amrei, the others learned that the Rav Nachman said as follows, Rav Nachman, Kemachlok is Metaltalin, Kach Machlok is Begittin. That Rav Nachman's statement was that not only do they argue on Metaltalin, but they also argue even by Gittin, whereas Ben Besera says that the Akima Sosayim, the Kvitza, is good, whereas the Tanakhama says by Gittin it's no good, and certainly not by Metaltalin as well. Where it says, I've not Metaltalin, been Metaltalin, but it seems to say in the Mishnah that they're only arguing by Metaltalin, so we have to interpret Rav Nachman is saying, Emo, af be Metaltalin, that our Mishnah should be understood as saying, af be Metaltalin, not only by Kiddushin and Gittin, but also by Metaltalin. So the Machlok is, according to the second version of Nachman, is by both. According to the first version, it's only in regards to Metaltalin, but they would agree, the Memeser would be Moda, that you need to have real Remiza by Kiddushin and Gittin. Then we quoted the Mishnah, Hapu'utos, children under the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah, we said, Mikra, Mekach, Memkrum, Mimkar, we said that anything that they sell is a valid sale, Midrabanan, anything that they buy is a valid purchase, Midrabanan, but only Bimetaltan, not in regards to Karka. In fact, there's Gemara elsewhere that tells us by Karka, we don't even allow the children to sell their father's estate, their father's land that they inherited until the age of 20, because they don't appreciate fully what it means to have their father's estate until the age of 20. So even above the age of Bar Mitzvah, we don't allow them to sell the estate of their father. But other karka, they would be allowed to sell above the age of Bar Mitzvah. Here we're talking about below the age of Bar Mitzvah, so we say that they're metaltalin in regards to movable items, so they're allowed to go and sell them either Rabbanan. Nu, Yad Kama, at what age do we say that these putos have a valid sale? So we wouldn't say a two-year-old has a valid sale, either Rabbanan. So what age are the putos here that we're referring to? So Machde, he would show by putting up the number of fingers with his hands, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yehuda showed his son, Rav Yitzchak, he would say, Kibar Shiz, Kibar Shev, about 6 or 7 years old, put up 6 and then 7 fingers, let's say. Now, the Nemuki Yossi says that this is not just a range of 6 or 7, but he's saying that it's 6 by a girl and 7 by a boy. The girls mature more quickly, that's why their bas mitzvah are 12 and the boys are bar mitzvah at 13. So, two, over here, the Nemuki Yossi says that we're dealing here what he was saying for a girl it would be 6, by a boy it would be 7. Rav Kahana disagreed, or seemingly disagreed, we see that they didn't disagree. Rav Kahana Omar, Kibar Shev, Kibar Tana. He said for a girl 7, for a boy 8. And in Bas Nisa Tana, we learn the Braisa, Kibar Tesha, Kibar Esa, by a girl 9, by a boy 10. Now it seems to have 3 different shiurim, 6, 7, and 9 for the girls, and 7, 8, and 10 for the boys. So what's going on? Over here, 3 by Machlokas, where it says Lo Pliga, they're not arguing. They are basically each saying, Kol Chad V'Chad L'Fi Churfei. You have to look at each child. There isn't an order rule. We say, what's the age of chinuch for a child, for example, depends on the child. The little girl, probably at the age of 3, was a bar hachi, and he would certainly be the age of chinuch. So other children knew it, 10 or 11, they finally become enough of a knowledgeable person, they become able to do certain things. No, at 7, they weren't able to. Other kids at 5, yes. So these are all ranges, and you go and assess each child according to his abilities, and that is the age. We say that sales or purchases are valid sales and purchases, me the rabbi. Okay. The Gemara says, V'taybamai, why did the rabbis institute this? I already mentioned this before. This is where I got it from. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov Bar Yochanan Mishum Kidei Chayav. Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov says the name of Yochanan in order for them to go and sustain themselves. If we didn't say, as Rashi says, Di lav zvino zvino, v'lo mizvani le mizvani. So if we didn't say that their purchases are purchases and their sales are purchases, so then nobody's going to want to go and do anything with them, and they're not going to be able to go and buy food for supper. They're not going to be able to go and buy clothing. So therefore, we have to make this because kidei chayiv. Okay. Now we have another statement. Rashi says the only reason that this is over here, it's b'yehu k'siv. This is in regard to the king Yehu, and it's because mishum Rabbi Abba bar Yaakov, mishum Rabbi Yochanan nakat lo. Since we just had one statement over here, in name of Rabbi Abba bar Yaakov Amar Yochanan. So again, as I mentioned before, it's not the most common amora. So therefore, we have another statement that he made in order to help facilitate remembering this when you're doing this all by heart. So what did he say? Rabbi Abba bar Yaakov in the name of Yochanan. The Yomer. So this is Yehu talking. Lasher al ha-meltecha. So he said to the one in charge of the meltecha, the one's going to ask what exactly is the meltecha, would be the guy in charge of the clothing. So hotze levush l'chol ovdei ha-baal. Go and bring out clothing for all those that worship the Baal. Now, my meltecha, the boy asks the question, what does it mean meltecha? So I'm Rabbi Abba bar Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, here we have Rabbi Abba bar Yaakov saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan. It means Meltecha means Dovar Hanimlal the Nimtoch. As Rashi explains in Dibur Masel, Dovar Nimlal the Nimtoch. Big day Pishton, these were linen clothing. Hein Shechuta Nimtoch Aidim Lil. You can stretch out the threads via playing it with your fingers. Shemola Bietzbosov Kishutova. And while you're sewing it, while you're weaving it, you go and stretch out the threads and you can roll them between your fingers in this way to stretch them. Now, Kiyos Rav Dimi, Rav Yochanan, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, I'm going to name Rav Yochanan, Shigar lo Bunyas ben Nunyam L'Rebbe. Rashi tells us that this person, Bunyam ben Nunyam, was a very wealthy person. Yisrael is a Yid, Asher Havad was a very wealthy person, and he sent to Rebbe a present. What did he send him? Four different types of garments, Sivni, the Chomes, Salsala, Umalmala. These are various types of linen garments, and they were made very, very, very finely, and they could be folded up very, very well. So the Sivni, the Chomes, these two garments, they were able to be folded up so well, Ki Amguza, Upagim the Amguza. They could be folded up to the size of a small nut, 1.5 small nuts. As Rashi tells us, Dibamaso Ki Amguza, Upagim Amguza, Talis Gedola, Limidoso. They sent Rebbe a talis that he was able to wear, a person of his size, Ukshumakafla, when he would fold it up, Loisa Yoser, Miegozuchetzi. It actually was the size, able to fold it up to the size of a nut and a half. So it was a very large talis, and yet he could fold it up. It was such fine linen that he could fold it up so well. And the other two were salsla umalmula. They were able to be folded up to the size of kipistika upalge depistika. This is some sort of a gold nut, Rashi tells us, or some sort of a nut also, a different type of a nut, a smaller nut. And it was able to be folded up this garment so finely it was made that it could fold it up into 1.5 of these types of nuts. My malmula, why was it called malmula? It means davar hanimlo v'nimtoch. That's like we said, it could be rolled in between the fingers and stretched out, and then it could be folded up very finely. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah that the rabbis ordained that the pu'utos, their sale was a valid sale. Now, ad kama, how much do we say it's a valid sale? That if they overcharged or undercharged, do we say that this is still a valid sale? By adults, the rule is that if it's less than an undercharge or an overcharge of a 6, so then the sale goes through and nothing has to be done. That's considered normal business. If it's a 6, so then the sale goes through, but they have to make up the overcharge or the undercharge. Whoever was paid too much has to be given back the money of a 6. If it's more than a 6, we say that the deal doesn't go through. So that's the rule by adults. With ta'uson, by the pu'utos, ad kama. What's the halacha? So, amar Rebbe Yona, amar Rebbe Zeira, it's the same thing. Ad shtus k'gadol. It's the exact same rules that I just mentioned by the gadol, or the rabbis ordained that they should be the rules for a katan as well. Abaye said, what about matonoso? What about if a young person under the age of bar mitzvah gives a gift? Do we say that that gift is considered a valid gift, or is that not considered a valid gift? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar, ain't matonoso maton. No, the rabbi has only ordained this for kidei chayev, and this is not kidei chayev, and therefore the matanos that a young person gives aren't considered valid matanos. However, Mar bar Ravashi Omar, matanoso matona. Mar bar Ravashi said that in fact the matanos of a young child, the putos, are in fact a valid gift. Now, when the rabbis transmitted this machlokas, Rabbi Yemar and Mar bar Ravashi, they mixed it up and they had the attributions the wrong way. So Avchua, they said that Rabbi Yemar was the one that said it's a good gift, and Mar bar Ravashi was the one that said that it's not a good gift. And when they told this over in the Beis Medrash, the Shadru Lekameh, the Rav Mordechai, they sent this information over to Rav Mordechai, he told them, no, that's wrong. Armelhu, Rav Mordechai told them that you're making a mistake. Zilu Imru Levar Mar, go and tell Mar bar Ravashi, he is the son of the master. So Ravashi was the master, so he called him Bar Mar. So Mar bar Ravashi, he says, tell the son of Ravashi that this is incorrect, because that is not the way that Ravashi held, and therefore Mustama, Mar bar Ravashi, held the same way as his father. Zilu Imru Levar Mar, go and tell Mar bar Ravashi that go and remind them, Lad Hochi Haba Uvda, wasn't there such a thing? Don't you remember that your father said this? We were together at the time. Ki Haba Ka Mahar, when Rav Ashi, the master, Chad Kariya Ara, he had 1 foot on the ground, Chad Kariya Darga, and 1 foot up on a step, the Amrana Le. And we asked him at that time, Matanoso, this Matana, the Putos Mai, is it a good gift or not? Ramalan and Rav Ashi answered us, Matanoso, Matana. Oh, like the Girsa that we had, not the way they flipped it around. So this is true. He said that their Matana is a Matana. Whether Achas Matanos Shriv Mirav, Achas Matanos Bari. Whether this is a gift for a person on his deathbed or whether it's a person who is healthy. Whether this is the Achas Matana Meruba, it's a large Matana, the Achas Matana Meruba, whether it's a small Matana, doesn't make any difference. The Matana of a child is considered a valid Matana. Okay, now we're going to the next Mishnah. El Dvarim Amrim Nedar Chisholom. Until now, we've had a lot of things that were Tikkun Olam. So now we have things that were instituted by the rabbis in order that there should be peace amongst Chai, so there shouldn't be constantly fighting. So all of these enactments that we're about to read in this Mishnah were all done to make sure that there wouldn't be fighting in Chai. So Kosh Baruch Hu hates fighting in Chai. So the rabbis did everything possible to make sure that there wasn't fighting in Chai Yisrael. So El Dvarim Amrim Nedar Chisholom. Whole list of things here that were instituted by the rabbis, Takanos, in order to make sure that there was peace in Chai Yisrael. So number one, Kohen Kohen Rishon, V'yachor of Levi, V'yachor of Yisrael, Mitnei Dachi Shalom. They would always be fighting in Shul. Hey, I'm the most important person. I should get the first Aliyah. He's the most important person. He should get the Aliyah. How did you give it to him, etc.? So the rabbis instituted, you always give Rishon to a Kohen, you always give Sheni to a Levi, and then afterwards you give Shlishi to Yisrael. Here they're talking about a Monday or a Thursday or a Shabbos Mincha, where there's only three Aliyahs. The same rules apply when you have more Aliyahs, that the first one is always the Kohen. So this way nobody will argue, hey, how come I'm not getting the first one? Second one's always a Levi. How come I'm not getting it? No, because the second one's always a Levi. And then afterwards you give the Yisrael. Another enactment that was made, Mipnei Darchei Shalom, was Ma'avim B'Vayis Yosha, Mipnei Darchei Shalom. So they would have an area of Chatzeros, an area was enclosed with multiple dwellers in that area, in that Chatzer. But they needed not only to have a physical enclosure, they needed to be mitzdarif together with food. So they had, let's say, a box of matzos they would put in there, and it would be the Erev for the Erev Chatzeros. Now, where would they leave this box of matzos? So everybody would say, oh, I want it in my house, I want it in my house. So whenever they decided, it would go, let's say, in the Rav's house. So then it always stayed there, Ma'arvin B'vayis Yoshan. They would always leave it there in the same house, so there wouldn't be people arguing, hey, it should not be in my house, it should be in my house. And this was done again, Bibnei Daki Shalom. We turn to Nuntes Amud Beis. The Mishnah continues and says, Bor, you have a well that a pit filled with water, Shukarvli Ama, Mismali Rishon. You have this pit that is filled with water that's right near the irrigation channels. And you would take the water from this pit and go and let it go to the irrigation channels that were filling all the fields that were downstream from that area. So the halacha is that the person on the highest upfield, closest to the bar, would have the rights to go and plug up the downstream from his field, let his field get irrigated, and only afterwards open it up and let the fields downstream. And then the second field would do the same thing, the third field would do the same thing, and this was done in order, it made Daki Shalom, because the field at the bottom would say, hey, I want to water my field first. The one in the middle would say, hey, I want to water my field first. So therefore, they made a rule that the one closest to the bar, he gets to water his field first. He would dam it up below that, and then the field would fill up his irrigation channels in his field, and then they would undam it, and it would go to the second field. He would dam it up below his field, and it would go and irrigate his field, and then he would undam it and go to the third field, etc., etc., etc. And this was done so people shouldn't be fighting. Nei Dak Yisholom. As Rashi says, Shlotei Machlokes Beneim. Ani Eskor Rishon. Each one will say, I want to do it first. I want to do it first. Dotakanta the Rabbanon Hachi. So if the rabbis made a takana, so this is the way everybody would do it, and nobody would be fighting. The Afal Pishino Din. This isn't the Din. This was a takana that the rabbis made. The next one was Mitsudos, that they had traps that trapped Chayav, the Ophos, and Dogim. So somebody put out traps and it trapped various Chayas, Ophos, and Dogim, various wild animals, birds, or fish. So if somebody else would come to those traps, one could argue the traps didn't have a Toch, Rashi says. They didn't have an inside. So therefore, technically, your Kalim didn't go and acquire it for you. So Midaraisa, Rashi says, Kol Kamad Lomotul Yode Lav Gezalu. So technically, it isn't in your possession yet. So therefore, these are traps, as Rashi then says, Gemara will explain, She'en Lehem Toch, they didn't have an inside to them, because automatically then your Kalim, if they had an inside to them, they would be coned on your behalf. So Min HaDin, Midaraisa, the animals trapped in these types of traps that didn't have a Toch, so then they technically wouldn't belong to the person. So if somebody else came along and took stuff from that trap, they wouldn't be over Gezel Daraisa. So the rabbis instituted, listen, this guy went to the trouble to put these traps together, somebody else was going to come and just take the animals, the fish or the birds that are inside of them, so the rabbis enacted that this would be like Gezel. However, if somebody did take take it. This is only b'nei darki shalom. So therefore, technically, you couldn't get it back in court. The rabbi said, don't take it. But technically, if somebody took it, then you couldn't get it back in court. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, gezel gomor. While it's din derabbanan, that it belongs to this person, but they made it, that it's a full din derabbanan. It now belongs to this person. So if somebody did steal it from him, he could take him to court and go get it back. So that's the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Next part of the Mishnah says, Metzias Chayri Shot of a Kotten, Yesh Bemishum Gezel, that the Metzios of a Chayri Shot of a Kotten, all of these people are not considered halachically, mentally competent, and technically they can't acquire something. So the rabbi said, the Tanakhama over here says, that they considered anything that they found to be theirs, even though technically it's not theirs because they don't have bar das, and therefore it technically isn't theirs. So theoretically, somebody could come along and take it straight out of the hands of the Chayri Shot and Kotten. So the rabbi, the Tanakhama says, no, the rabbi said this is like Gezel. You don't have the right to do this. Again, so people shouldn't keep on walking up to a katan and stealing whatever he has in his hands and just grabbing it from him. And here again, Rav Yossi Omer, Gezel Gomer. No, the rabbis made it that this was actual Gezel, midrabbanan, and therefore, in a basin, you can get it back. As opposed to the Tanakhama says, in a basin, you couldn't get it back. Next part of the Mishnah tells, Oni Amanake Barosh Azayis. The Ani, who's going and collecting the things that were for the Matnas Aniyim on the top of a Zayas tree, on the top of an olive tree, Rashi says that, for example, there were Nishar Bo Ololos, so there were the Ololos from the fruits that were left behind for the Matnas Aniyim, so the Ani is on the top of the tree, and some of the fruits that he's taking fall down. They don't come to right to his basket, and they fall down to the bottom of the tree. So, Masha Tachtov Gezel, so the rabbis, according to Tanakhama, said that he has a right to keep all the stuff that falls down because he went to the trouble of getting it, and even though he didn't collect it right into his basket, some of it fell down. Anything that's below the tree is his. Again, mipnei darki shalom. So people shouldn't get into fights. However, again, the Tanakhama, as we said previously, he said this is only an Eitz HaTovah, so to say, nobody should take it. But if somebody did take it, you can't get it back in Beis Din. And again, Yossi Omer, Gezel Gomer. No, the rabbi said that this stuff actually belongs to Midi Rabbanan, and therefore he could get it back in a Beis Din. And finally, the mission concludes and says, Ein Memachin, we don't go and protest and go and prevent the Aniye of the Kochadim, Biyad Aniye of the Kochadim, to taking the Lekin Shechem Peh, even though the Lekin Shechem Peh was supposed to be for the Yidden. Nevertheless, the rabbi said, if the Goyim come and take it, don't interrupt. Again, Mibnei Daki Shalom. There shouldn't be hatred. There should be, again, we should live with the Goyim in peace. So therefore, if this was, they were Aniyim, so they were allowed to take it as well. Okay, we said a lot in this mission. Gemara starts off and says, Minohani Mili. How do we know that this is true? In other words, where do we see that the rabbis have the right to go and make this enactment that the Kohen should read first and the Levi should read second and that the Yisrael should read third? So we can bring four different psukim that we bring this down. And then we're going to question, but then this is a din daraisa, not a rabbinical enactment. In any event, the Gemara starts off and tells us first, you know how we know that this is true? So Amar Reb Masa, Reb Masa says, because the Pasuk says, the Amar Krav, Vayichtov Moshe, Satorah, Zos, Moshe gave it to the Kohanim who were the sons of Levi. Where it says, duh, don't we know that? Otu, I know, lo yadana, the Kohanim b'nei Levi. They knew at this point in time in the Torah, we don't know that the Kohanim, Aaron HaKohen, was also a Levi, and that all of the Kohanim that descended from him were also Leviim. So where it says, Ella comes to teach us, Kohen b'reisha, father Levi, comes to teach us the order. First you give it to the Kohanim, and then to the Levi, and then only after the Yisrael. So that's the pasuk according to Reb Masna. Reb Yitzchak Nafka Omar, Reb Yitzchak Nafka gives a different pasuk. He's not arguing. He doesn't say Omar Reb Yitzchak Nafka, he says Reb Yitzchak Nafka Omar. So he's not arguing with the pasuk of Reb Masna. He's just bringing another pasuk. He says, Mehachi, you can learn it out from here. It says, V'nikshu ha-Kohanim b'nei Levi. So it tells us that the Kohanim b'nei Levi are going to come. Now, again, same question. Duh, don't we know that? Atu anan lo yadin and the Kohanim b'nei Levi ninu. Don't we know that? So again, Ella, to teach us, Kohen B'Reish, Brother Levi. That's Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Rav Ashemar, a different pasuk. Again, he's not arguing with them. He's saying, I have Mihacha. B'nei Amram, Aaron, and Moshe. Le'ibadal Aaron, Lakdisho, Kodesh, Kodoshim. Here's a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, which tells us again that Amram had two sons, Aaron and Moshe, and Aaron was separated to be Kodesh, Kodoshim. So he had a status higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. He did the Avoda, and the Levim only helped to do the Avoda in some ways, and therefore, that's the source according to Rav Ashi. And the fourth and final source, that's Rav Chiya Bar Abba. What did he say? Omar, Mehachav, in this Pashut. The Pashut says, V'kidash Tau, you have to go and sanctify the Kohen. In other words, L'chol Dovr Shemikdusha, he has to always go first. L'chol Dovr Shemikdusha, and therefore, We see that the Kohen has to go first, then the Levi goes afterwards, and then the Yisrael. New, talking about Yisrael, we have a price that supports this last statement of Rechiah Bar Abba. It says, we have to go and give the Kohen first, according to everything. Liftoach Rishon, he gets, if there's a bunch of speakers at the dinner, so he gets to speak first. Levarach Rishon, if you're making a bracha, so he gets to make the bracha first, and be yotzei everybody else. Lita Mona Yafa Rishon, when you're passing it around, he gets to go and take first. Tosus points out that this is only true in Maaser Ani or Tzedaka, or when you're passing around a plate and a meal with friends. However, in a shutus, in a partnership, so then we don't say that he gets to take first. Everybody is considered the same in that situation. Okay. Now the Gemara says, I'm going to lay a Baile Rav Yosef. If I have questions with his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, he says, Mimei Dachi Shalom, we said in the Mishnah, this is in order to have peace in Chai Yisrael, Daraisa. We just brought four psukim. That's a din Daraisa. So Rav Yosef responds, Amale, he says, Daraisa, yeah, it's a din Daraisa based upon these psukim. However, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this with Mimei Dachi Shalom, in order there should be peace and tranquility in Chai Yisrael. Gemara says, Abai responds and he says, "Call the Torah kula. Now I'm even Dachi Shalom. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah is in order to be a peaceful world. That everything in the Torah is pleasant and beautiful and nice. So why are we singling this out? Bnei Dachi Shalom. We should have it at the end of every Mishnah. Bnei Dachi Shalom. Bnei Dachi Shalom. Bnei Dachi Shalom. So obviously that can't be the reason. Elam Abai therefore suggests Licha Demar, like his other Rebbe, Rabbi Ben Nachmani taught him. He learned by Rav Yosef. And one by Rabbi Ben Nachmani. So he says, Rabbi Ben Nachmani understood the following brisa. So he first was to brisa. The Tanya, Shtayin Mantin Mzel Zebekara. When two people are eating together from the same plate, so if one person goes to the bathroom, the other person can't continue eating while he's there because he would have a higher amount of the food, a larger share of the food. So he has to wait. That's if two people are there. But if Shlosha, if three people are eating from the same plate, so then Ein Mantin. If one of them leaves, you don't have to go and wait. The other two can continue eating. Likewise, Habotseya, the one who does the Hamotzi Lechem Menorah, he breaks the bread, who Poshe Yod Duchila, he's entitled to go take the first piece. In fact, he has to go and take the first piece, and he goes and dips it. Rashi says, Lafis is a pas. He gets to go and have the first bite. But if the person who is Botseya wishes to give cover to his Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, you go first, or somebody that's older than him, somebody that's more important than him, he has the right to do so. Now, that's the price of Omar, Mara, Law, and Abai says that my Rebbe, Rabbi Nachmani, said about this, Lo Shano Basuda. This is only in regards to food that the person is allowed to say, no, if you want to, you go first. However, Avo Bebesa Knesses, the Kohen can't go and say to other people, listen, hey, it's okay, you can go first. He shouldn't be doing that. Avo Bebesa Knesses, Lo, because the Osu Lien Suye. Because you know what's going to happen. The Kohen lets Yanko go first. And then Yitzchak's going to say, hey, how come you let Yanko go first? How come you don't let me go first too? And all it's going to do is cause quarreling and fighting, and therefore, the rabbi said that, and Emil isn't dead. He once let his Rebbe go first, no problem. Nobody's going to fight about that. However, in regards to the shul, in regards to the laning, we have an order, and we have to stick with that order, and you're not allowed to be moichel al kvodo. Mark continues, says, Amr Rav Masa. Rav Masa says, Hard the Amr says, that's slow. That which we just brought down from Abaye in the name of Rabbi Ben Achmeni, then the shul, the Kohen is not allowed to be moichel on his kvod. So that which we said is lo amar and ella b'shabbosis v'yomim tovim. That was only said on Shabbos and Yontif, the shchichei rabbi, because many people were there in shul. However, on Mondays and on Thursdays, not so many people showed up. Abel b'sheni v'chamishi lo. The Kohen could be moichel on his kavod then, because there aren't that many people there. And therefore, if he wishes to be moichel on his kavod on a Monday or a Thursday, he's allowed to do so. Tosus is very interesting. Tosus second. Tosus abel b'sheni v'chamishi lo says, only in those days, Hani Milili did who? The Bechol have treated them locked on. Did people not show up to Minyan on Mondays and Thursdays because they're very work? However, Velo Shriche, that they would be therefore in shul so many people. Avali did on already in Tosis' time, Shriche, Bishani Bechamishi. Already people were showing up on Mondays and Thursdays. What be Yantiv? They would have large crowds like they had on Yantiv, and therefore this rule technically wouldn't apply. However, this din is brought down that when you have a shas hadchak, and only under circumstances of shas hadchak, so you are allowed to, under circumstances, let's say you have two people that have a yard site, bo bayom, and they're a chiv to get an aliyah, so on a Monday or Thursday, and both of them are Yisraelim, what can you do? You know, we don't make hosafas. So in that situation, Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, and many others bring down that if it's a true shas hadchak, so then on a Monday or a Thursday, one would be allowed to say, b'mechilas kohen. The kohen has to be asked, the kohen has to be moichal. It's better than him going outside. Technically, he's not there, so then there's no kohen. So sometimes people say the kohen should go outside, but it's better if you have b'mechilas kohen to say this is the normal din, that the kohen should get it, but the kohen is willing to be moichal on a Monday or Thursday to go give the chiyuvim and aliyah. But you should only do this when they're two chiyuvim, when it's really a shas hadchak. For example, you have two yard sites, bo bayom, and each of them wants to get an aliyah. So then in that situation,
We allow this. More questions. It says, Ini, Va, Rav Huna, Kari, Bekahani, Bishabas, Yom Tovim.
Wait a second. Rav Huna, who was a Yisrael, so they would give him the coins Aliyah. They would give him the first Aliyah, even on Shabbos and Yantiv, not on a Monday or a Thursday. So how could they do that? We just said that you're not allowed to be Michael Kovit. So Mora says, Shiny Rav Huna. Rav Huna was different. He was the recognized Gadol HaDor. And nobody would say, well, how could you give it to Rav Huna? Why don't you give it to me? Because Dafilu, Ravami, Ravasi were both Kohanim. Kahani, Chashiva, the Eretz Yisrael. They were the most important Kohanim. They were first generation of Amorim. They were Tamid, Rav Yochanan. And they were great, great, great Amorim. And they were both Kohanim. Nevertheless, when Rav Huna was there, Nechav Halu Chayfileh, they were subordinate to him. And therefore, that would be different. If somebody is the recognized Gadol HaDor, so that would be different. Lamaisa, we don't even pass like that. Otherwise, when Moshe Feinstein's at Zatzal, the Rav, Rav Yeshua Soloveitchik, should have always gotten the first Aliyah. Soloveitchik was a lady, so it would be additional problems. But in any event, in that situation, the din is that even the Gadol HaDor today, we don't give that. That's not considered a Shas HaTrach, that's not considered covered to go give the Gadol HaDor. We still go by the normal order. However, it is brought down that in that situation, you should try to make sure that the coin is at least not an Am HaAretz. Because while the greater Talmud Chacham should technically get the Aliyah first, but if another Talmud Chacham is at least getting the Aliyah, so then Nishke Frelich, it's not so bad. So the coin you should try to give, if Rav Moshe Zatzal is in your shul, so he's a Yisrael, so you can give the coin first, the Levi second, you should try to give the coin and the Levi to be Talmid Chachamim rather than Amaratz. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Amar Abai Abai says, Naktina, we have a Mesorah, we have the tradition, in Ein Sham Kohen, when you don't have a Kohen over there, Nispar de Chavila, the bundle, so to say, is unraveled, and as a result, you don't have to give the Levi the first Aliyah. You give Yisrael the first Aliyah. Once you don't have a Kohen there, you don't have the Kohen-Levi combination, so then you can just give Yisrael the Aliyah. But Abai Abai added to that, and he said, Naktina, we have another Mesorah, then in Ein Sham Levi, Kori Kohen. When you don't have a Levi, then the Kohen reads twice, so the Kohen reads in his place, and now, right now, we're not saying it's the same coin. We say that you call up another coin to read Shani. More questions. That says, really? You're going to call up another coin? Ini? Remember, Rav Yochanan says, coin, acha coin, lo yikwa. You're not allowed to call up a coin after a coin. Why? Mishum pigamo shalisho. Because it's going to cast aspersions on the first coin. Oh, you called up a real coin. The first guy must not have been a real coin. Gemara was going to ask momentarily, why don't we say it's going to cast aspersions on the second guy? That, oh, he's a lady, or he's not a real coin. That's why he's not called up in the coin slot. Here, we only say, Mishum Pigamo Shorishon. We say that the concern is that it's going to cast aspersions on the first coin if you call up a second coin afterwards. Likewise, Levi Acha Levi Lo Yikor. Don't call up a lady after a lady. Again, Mishum Pigam Shnem. Because here, we're going to either think that the first one's not a real lady, or the second one's not a real lady. So, clearly, you see over here that we don't call up a Kohen after a Kohen. How can you Abai say that we have a Mesorah that if there's no Kohen, if there's no Levi, that we call up a Kohen twice? So Gemara says, no, Ki Kamrina, Bosa Kohen. Yeah, it's like what we do when we don't have a Levi in Shul. So the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. If there's no Levi, we say, call up the Kohen for the second Aliyah as well. Same Kohen, not a different Kohen. Okay, so that answered that question, but now we look at the words that were said. Why do we say Mishum Pagamu Shul Rishon and not Pagamu Shul Sheni? So Maishno Levi, the Gemara first says, Acha Levi Dika Pagam Shnem. By the Levi, it said, we don't call up a Levi after Levi because Mishum Begam Shneim, because we're concerned about the Begam of the first Levi and the Begam of the second Levi. We'll say one of them is not a real Levi. But here we say both of them we have to be concerned that the first one will be considered not a real Levi, and as well the second one might not be considered a real Levi. Whereas by the Kohen Acha Kohen Nami, we said by the Kohen after the Kohen, we didn't say Mishum Begam Shneim, we only say Mishum Begam Shul Rishon. So why don't we say that we're concerned about the first Kohen as well as we're concerned about the second Kohen? So the Gemara answers, simple teretz, could go to Muslim, be avua, the high sheni, the Kohen. Because the second one was, without a doubt, a Kohen. Everybody knew his father. His father was a famous Kohen, and everybody knew that the second one definitely was a Kohen. Where it says, Sochanami, over here too. The Muslim, be avua, the high sheni, the Levi. So why don't we say the same thing? In the same Brisa, you can't be Michalik and say, oh, the first one is talking, the first part was talking about Kohen after a Kohen. It's because we know the Kohen, the second Kohen was Muksak, his father was a Kohen, so there's no concern. So saying that same Brisa, that the second Levi, it's Muksak, that his father was a Levi. So we shouldn't be concerned about the second one. How come by the Levi, we're concerned about both of them? And by the Kohen, we're not concerned except for the first one. Someone says, you're right. Elo, Amre, Mamzeres, Onesina, Nosiv. Because we have to be concerned that the father of the Kohen, that he married in the Sina, which is, of course, the child would not be a Kohen, or he married Mamzeris, and the child would not be a valid Kohen in that situation. Upaslu Lazari, and he made all of his children there afterwards non-Kohanim. So as a result, and Rashi points out, this is true by a Levi as well, so their children don't have the status of being a Levi, and certainly the Kohanim don't have the status of being a Kohen. So therefore, by the Levi, we have to be concerned by both of them, we want to suggest, and that the father of the Levi that we're talking about, so he married him on the Zeres of the Sina, and therefore the child's not a Levi. Pasla Lazare. So when it says, Hachanami, I'm a Grusha Chalutza Nasa. So the same thing could be about a Kohen, that he married a Grusha Chalutza and his children, Yachli Lazare. And as Rashi points out, Mikidusha Skehuna, Bariki Yisrael. And they would be like regular Israelim in this situation. And therefore, why are we only concerned about the Pekam of the Rishon? If the second Kohen was a well known Kohen, so we should be concerned about the second Kohen as well, this son, because even though he's a well known Kohen, maybe married Grusha Chalutza. So it says, no, that's not a concern, because bottom line is, sof, Levi, Mikohavi. So let's say the second son, we're concerned now that he's not really a Kohen. So that's why his father married, he's known his father's well known. He married Grusha Chalutza, so therefore he's not a Kohen. But Levi, Mikohavi, did he become a Levi? Did he get the second Aliyah? No. So obviously everybody sees that he's getting the second Aliyah, so therefore if his father's well known Kohen, there's no reason he would get the second Aliyah if the father married a Grusha or a Chalutza, because then he wouldn't be a Kohen, he wouldn't be a lady. So therefore, once you see that the second person is a Kohen, whose father's a well known Kohen, got the second Aliyah, there's no concern of Pagam on the second Kohen, and therefore the Pagam concern only was on the first Kohen. Okay, Nadigmar says, Ulaman. When Rabbi Yochanan made a statement saying that we have to be concerned about Pagam of the first Kohen, who was he saying this Pagam is a concern for? So the people that are sitting through the entire laning, so they see that the first Kohen got the Kohen's Aliyah, they see that the second Kohen got the second Aliyah, and then there was one Yisrael. So obviously, there was nothing wrong with any of the three people. We didn't add a fourth Aliyah because the first guy wasn't appropriate, there was no Pagam over here. So therefore, that they only read three people from the Torah. So obviously, the first guy was a Kohen, the second guy was a Kohen, and the third guy was Yisrael because there was no Levi there. Ella, who's the concern for? Ella Leotim. We're concerned about the people that left. They left after the second person, and they'll see, oh, the second person got the Kohen, and they don't know there's only going to be one more Aliyah. They're leaving now and say, oh, the first person wasn't a real Kohen, that's why they have to call up a real Kohen. And therefore, the Pagam of the first Kohen was a concern for Ella the Yotzin, for the people that went outside. Let's just finish up by doing one last piece. Shalchulei b'nei Galil Rabbi Chelbo. The people from the Galil sent to Rabbi Chelbo the following Shaila. Acharein, after the Kohen and the Levi go, we turn to Samach Man Aleph, Mikorin. Who gets the next Aliyah? Do we say over here, as Rashi points out in the top Rashi, Klomar, Tiknu, Shum Seder Yisrael, B'Shabbosos, Mishum Dark Yisholim, or not? Do we have to be concerned that people are going to fight? Oh, I'm the most important Yisrael, so I should get the Aliyah? We say, no, once it's a Yisrael already, we're not going to have fights anymore. So he didn't know the answer. Rechavah didn't know the answer of Yodeh. So what did he do? Also, Vishayla, Rav Yitzchak Nachla. He went to ask somebody else. He had to ask Rav Yitzchak Nachla. Rav Yitzchak Nachla told him, Amalei, Acharein, after the Kohen and Levi go, Karin Talmidei Chachamim Hamunim Parnasim Al Tzibur. The first person should get the Aliyah is the Rav of the Tzibur, the one who's in charge of the Tzibur. So he should go and get the Aliyah. It's brought down elsewhere. The Rabbeinu Tam, even during Avelos, he always got Shlishi every single Shabbos based upon this Gemara. So even during Avelos, when he technically shouldn't get an Aliyah, he said it would show Fahesia on Shabbos. If I didn't get the Aliyah, that would be Avelos, but Fahesia on Shabbos. And therefore, he got the Aliyah even when he was in Avelos, even on Shabbos of his Avelos. In any event, so Rav Yitzchak Nachla says that you go and give it to the biggest Talmud Chacham that's over there. He's in charge of the Tzibur. New. If he's not there, or after him, if it's like Shabbos or the seven Aliyahs, so they have more Yisraelim, v'achareim tamidei chachamim ha'ru'uyim also parnas al tzibur. People that aren't the Rav of the Tzibur, but they're capable of being the Rav of the Tzibur, they're knowledgeable enough to be the Rav of the Tzibur, though they happen not to be the Rav of the Tzibur. After them, v'achareim, who do you call up? B'nei tamidei chachamim. You call up the sons of the tamidei chachamim, Shabbosim, Mun, and parnas al tzibur, the ones that their fathers are the rabbis, or their fathers would be worthy to be the rabbis, you call them up next. And then v'achareim, Rosh Hikinisios, then you call up the president, the gabayim, the leaders of the shul, and after that, the whole other, and all the other people, anybody who's Yisrael, is allowed to get Aliyah at that point in time. Just one last thing, Rashi points out, Ezu Talmud Chacham Shuar Limnos Pinus Al Tzibur, who you define as somebody who could be the rabbi of the shul, so Kol Sheshol, and also Dover Halacha, B'chom Akom V'Omra. If you ask him questions in any area of learning, and he's able to answer them, that's a person that should be qualified to be the Rav of the shul, the leader of the Tzibur. With this, we conclude today's share.